the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Now, as we've been hearing, it can become harder to make decisions with all the noise, misinformation, disinformation that's floating about. But rather than avoid that scene, our next guest went searching for it in the murky world of trolling bots and online manipulation. Xavier Greenwood is the producer behind Who Trolled Amber, an investigative podcast into the online hate campaign that was directed against Amber Heard when her ex-husband, Johnny Depp, sued her for defamation following a Washington Post article she wrote about domestic abuse. The jury found in his favour despite the fact that she didn't name Depp. The podcast is a six-part series packed full of stats about the case and the wider world of disinformation. We caught up with Xavier yesterday. Let's first get the stats out of the way. Here's what he set out on some of the findings.
It was overwhelmingly anti-Amber Heard and pro-Johnny Depp. I think we calculated that between 2016 and 2022, more than 800,000 tweets were posted with the hashtag Amber Heard is an abuser. Only 15,000 tweets used the hashtag Johnny Depp is an abuser, even though she was the one who had accused him of abuse. A lot of it was hateful content, TikTok trends, which were impersonating and mocking Amber Heard's accounts and allegations of domestic abuse. We got hold of a data set of over a million or around a million tweets, which used some of the common hashtags that were anti-Amber Heard. And because it's such an enormous data set, neither me nor Alexi really had the capabilities of analysing it at scale. So we called on two researchers to take a look. They found a variety of things. On the top level, one of the researchers found that of the million tweets, more than half of those tweets came from what he thought were inauthentic accounts. Anonymous accounts, so accounts that never use their real names or their real profiles. He found lots of suspicious amplification. So when tweets received far more engagement than they normally would have received. So that's, you know, accounts which have no followers tweet once about the trial and they get thousands of retweets. He found lots of examples of accounts using identical texts, such as hashtags or URLs to promote certain narratives, accounts where there were changes in language or changes in topic, so they were suddenly tweeting in one language and then they switched to another, or they were never tweeting about Johnny Depp and all of a sudden that was all they were talking about. We found one account which had tweeted more than 370,000 times since 2021. And if you break that down, that's a post every 2 minutes, 24 hours a day for 3 years. And so, yeah, we both found at the top level this enormous amount of inauthentic activity, but then we also tried to dig into individual examples. So there was that account, there was a account that a researcher identified as a Chilean far-right troll who was tweeting about politics in Chile and then suddenly tweeted dozens of times about Amber Heard. We found Thai accounts that basically had no followers. They would tweet once, they would go viral. And we also found YouTube videos which had tens of thousands of identical messages.
But what's really interesting about this is the wider implications for democracies. Xavier and the presenter Alexi Mostras wanted to explore how these campaigns might play out on the political field. Their Wayback Machine discovered a number of these inauthentic accounts originated in Saudi Arabia. I asked Xavier why different foreign interests like Saudi Arabia, Russia or China might be interested in a celebrity case like this. And let's be clear, it's still not clear who exactly was behind the Amber campaign.
Issues like the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial can be characterized as wedge issues. So they are issues which polarize people and often polarize people along different political lines. So it might be that if you had a certain type of politics, you were more inclined to believe Amber Heard. If you had a certain type of politics, you were more inclined to believe Johnny Depp. And so if you were a country that was trying to further polarize a country like the United States, it might be that you'd reason, well, if I do that directly within the political sphere, it might be more obvious, or people might be more alert to that sort of activity. Whereas if I do it in the case of something like Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, people are likely to have their guard down a little more. A different theory is that cases like Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, that they almost become test cases. So if you are wanting to test whether a sort of campaign works, a campaign that operates in a certain way works, it might be that you do a sort of, you do A-B testing. So you try out some particular techniques in a celebrity court case. So you try out some particular techniques in the case of a local news story, and you basically see what sticks. And that means that when it comes to trying to influence the narrative around an election or around another event where the stakes are higher, you already have tested out what works and doesn't work. That's another theory as to what might be going on here.
This whole area of disinformation, misinformation, this information crisis that you describe, I've worked in it myself through platforms and startups. It's incredibly complex. It's ever evolving. It's getting more sophisticated. Do you think future campaigns like the one you have described here in terms of the celebrity legal case can be stopped more broadly in a year of 90 elections around the world?
Yeah, I mean, my honest answer is probably no. I think one of the issues we have is that we were able to analyse all these tweets because we had an existing data set that had been very well preserved. It's actually much harder now to analyze what's going on a site like Twitter en masse. Since taking over Twitter, Elon Musk has made it more expensive to scrape and analyze data from the site. So actually what we were able to do in terms of analyzing inauthentic activity, which it should be said is very painstaking and time consuming, what we were able to do, you probably wouldn't be able to do now. Obviously, we are potentially at the cusp of massive AI breakthroughs, and some would say we're already going through them. That's making it easier and easier for those who want to operate these campaigns to go about undetected or to really work at scale. So that's also making it harder. I think another thing which is difficult here is, you know, the Kay Middleton story is a story which has kind of gripped the internet over the past few weeks. And one interesting thing that's happened recently is she obviously released this statement about her cancer diagnosis. And now you have people online who are talking about that video and saying, you know, I think that was a fake video. I think that was a deep fake. So the issue here isn't just that people are posting information online which is false or which is inauthentic and people are thinking that it's true and that it's authentic. It's also that when someone posts something online which looks like it's actually completely true and authentic, people are doubting it. So really, the risk almost in some ways feels like it could be an existential one, that we are just losing the ability to distinguish between what is true and what is false online, what is authentic and what is inauthentic.
And in this moment, Xavier, where everyone has to be critical and have critical thinking skills and think about what to trust and what not to trust, how has researching this podcast changed your own relationship with social media?
I already took a high level of care over what I saw online and whether I believed it. I think it's just, I mean, one, it's a reminder that you constantly need to be on high alert for this sort of thing, and that you shouldn't just be on high alert around issues that you think are obviously going to contain inauthentic actors, you know, as we see with the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp case. It might not be the sort of issue where people would think there would be inauthentic activity. And so you've just really got to be on high alert. No one should feel like they are completely immune to this sort of activity online, because it can be very powerful.
It's very, very expensive to investigate, to go back into a big database of a million tweets, but it's very inexpensive to actually mount these campaigns. What can you get for even $100 today to orchestrate something like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we asked a few experts how much it cost to launch inauthentic campaigns, and it really depends on the level of sophistication. So for a few hundred dollars, you can potentially buy a bot network. You can buy automated accounts that will tweet in a certain way, perhaps at regular intervals, promoting whatever message you want to promote. Those bot networks may not be that sophisticated as this thing, so it might be that they are easier to detect. When you get to more sophisticated campaigns, you are obviously spending more money, but in exchange for that, you are getting something much more sophisticated, which is much harder to detect. We covered one example in the podcast of an Israeli disinformation for hire firm who basically told a group of journalists, we can make any topic trend for you. And they made a topic trend with you know, a click of a button, basically. And they were able to do that because they had this system that could create these fake accounts very, very easily. And so if you find a firm like that, it's probably going to be quite expensive, but it's not going to be very hard for that firm to manipulate opinion online.
And that was Xavier Greenwood, producer behind the podcast Who Trolled Amber?